Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Friday. Yes, Friday, the 14th of November. And thank you very much for being with us. We have a lot to talk about today, a lot to get to. So let me just introduce our wonderful panel to you. And then I'll tell you how you can be a part of the program. And then we'll actually do the program.
Oh, terrific.
By the way, you did a great job in that weather forecast, right?
Yeah.
When you were doing the brr.
The brr, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chilly.
So here's my suggestion. You should do it for 37 hours.
What?
Just brr. Oh, no, like no, Alan Roker.
Yeah. Well, it was the Al Roker, the Rokerthon.
Oh, what? Now tell me about that.
Al Roker decided he wanted to beat a Guinness Book of World Record.
Yeah.
A Guinness Book Record?
Yes.
Whatever. And it was 36 hours.
Of doing what?
Of a continuous weather report.
Oh, good heavens.
So you could do that. All right. Ray Graff is here. WAMC's newsman extraordinaire. Ray Graff is here. WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It is very nice to have you, sir. University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is here as well.
Thanks for having me, too.
Good morning. And let me again tell you that you can go to roundtable at WAMC.org and write us an email. But if you want to comment and have the world to see, just go to our webpage. WAMC.org/roundtable. You'll see the panel listed for today, the 14th of November. Click on it and you'll be able to comment, and we would love to see and
are people
read.
Doing that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
It's working out?
Everyone's
this
doing
promotion
it now.
That you've been doing is.
Yes.
It's been a little. I mean, I've noticed it. Let's just say that I noticed that you've been promoting it.
I'm glad that
you
noticed
that. Was there a meeting on
this? Yes.
Oh, I wasn't there.
Well, it was one of those standing meetings.
Oh, well, I like it. Yeah. Go to the website, everybody. Drive the traffic. Cha-ching.
All right. Let's go on with what is happening in this world of ours. And well, let's talk about the Secret Service report. I thought this was interesting because we talked about the White House intruder of how this man entered into got very, very far within the White House. And it turns out now that through the report and through the investigation that there were several blunders by the Secret Service, but the agent who was actually in charge of the operation was busy on a cell phone.
Yeah.
In the van on a cell phone.
Playing Angry Birds, no doubt. Something important. National security implications.
You know, it gets very, you know, it gets intense. Yes.
So what's interesting about this story, and I'm sure Rosemary noticed it as a feminist, because it's, oh boy, here comes the mail. Because there was a woman in the White House who had an opportunity, I think, to shoot him, but also to tackle him, and she couldn't because he was three times or twice as big as she was. You know, I haven't seen much notice about that in the papers. Don't you see?
Oh, that's interesting. I did not notice that. I noticed the guy out in the van on his cell phone.
No.
I noticed that
the woman
who was in charge of the Secret Service had to go, and yet there's not been, you know, discipline against the other guys who kind of forgot to lock the door, forgot to let the dogs go after him. There's kind of like incompetence all around in this story.
Because reading the report.
Go ahead.
Yep.
No, go ahead.
Oh, so, but yes. So I think that's an interesting thing. Now the question I have, the great equalizer here, of course, is a gun. So my question to you guys is, would it have been appropriate? They say they didn't know that he was armed, so they didn't shoot him.
Right.
Seems to me, somebody gets in the White House, you shoot him. I mean, or, you know, he knew. Now it turns out this guy had all kinds of issues. You know, they found guns in his car and hatchets under his shirt and this and that in other places. Not that day, but they did. They found a knife on him that day. But if somebody jumps the thing and you got the President of the United States, the leader of the free world with every nut in the world running around, shoot him.
Well, I have to back off from that. I think what you need to do is follow procedures that would have kept him out of the White House. I don't think we should be shooting in the White House. And had they
if he's on the wing. Yeah. Okay.
If they had properly, you know, vetted him before when there was evidence of trouble from him, if they caught
him
when
he
jumped over
the fence.
You
mean the last time he was there with the hatchet?
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on.
Maybe they didn't maybe they thought he was part of the cabinet or something.
No, I don't think we should be shooting in the White
or
House.
Repairing the cabinet.
No, for my
let's assume you're right, but But how about on the way into the White House? Should he have been shot?
Yes. No.
As he's getting close?
Well, they had attack dogs, and the dogs, it's the dog's job. And then apparently, from my reading of the report, the dogs were like, hey, there's a person on the lawn. Hey, there's a person on the lawn. Yeah. And they're like, hey, stop bugging me. I'm
playing Angry Birds. Can you stop that?
Well, I don't
it's
know if I'm...
friends time.
Are they good enough that you can shoot at and not shoot the person? I don't want this guy killed.
Don't tase me, bro. Just tase him, right?
No, that... Yeah. That's the Roselle position. Shoot him in the leg. But I don't think it's as easy to do that as some people think. No, but... Yeah, go ahead, John.
Well, I think it's... my understanding of law enforcement is that it's shoot to kill, right? Isn't that what...
That's most police.
Yeah.
I don't know. This whole report is just like Keystone Cops. I think my favorite part, aside from the Angry Birds guy, is they...
I don't know. I don't know if he was playing Angry Birds, okay? It might have been Facebook.
Once he went into the bushes, they thought it was okay because he couldn't get through the bushes. He kind of just like walked right through them. That's like, great.
That was great.
You could look at the plants. Well,
so what do you do? How do you fix it?
You follow the procedures.
Let me bring this to yet another interesting conclusion, or perspective. As we know, lunatics have killed presidents at least four times that I can think of, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now we find the guy who killed M.L. King in Britain with a roll of money in his – an escape convict with a roll of money in his pocket. Right? So far, so good? Everybody following
me? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
He did go to Europe. And there were questions about how he funded
that. How he got all the money. There are 1,000 conspiracy theories about JFK, right?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question. What if the president had been in the White House, God forbid, because I was worried about this from the very beginning, from the day that Obama was elected. I was scared to death about it. What if he had been there? What if the president went down? As I say, God forbid. Now, can you imagine if we have Sirhan, we have, all of these other guys, and you say to yourself, what would the conspiracy theory look like about somebody getting into the White House with a knife and the rest of it? It's almost beyond belief. I think you have to take and I know we'll hear from all the goo-goos, but you have to take the ultimate action. You're not allowed to run into the White House with a knife, and you're not allowed to run into the White House, period. If you've climbed that fence and nothing else works, I think the guy has to be shot.
Well, I mean, first of all, they
got the president of the United States. Yeah,
they got him. But the other thing too is, and this is to both your point and to Rosemary's point, there was the female officer, and you were talking about your favorite moment of the report was about the bushes. My favorite moment of the report was when the officer attempted to draw her baton, but accidentally grabbed her flashlight instead.
Yeah, that was good.
and it's just like, if you're going to have the utility belt, make sure that you know how to employ
it. Well, in defense, those flashlights are usually metal, and they can be used as a secondary weapon. You've seen those flashlights.
Well, I don't know that was
the
flashlight.
That wasn't her intent. I mean, there's
some
lack of
training
there. She
wanted to take her baton. Yeah, and she went after the flashlight, and... he could see his way into the blue
room. You guys were willing to like hang up the Saratoga deputy who slapped the bratty kid in the side of the head, and yet Alan's right. How can we give any credence to the performance of our Secret Service? It's Keystone Cops.
And when the rock stars walk around, who do they walk around with? Who are their protective people? They're 9 feet tall. They're husky. They can take you down.
Husky.
So does this mean women in the Secret Service, Alan? Is that what we're getting?
Absolutely not.
Husky women need apply. What the heck?
Exactly, Raymond. There are big women. There are big women who can do this.
I think the larger issue here is how five people before her failed to do their job.
And I will go back to the locked door. Why was the door in the portico not locked? And that's what makes me think, Alan, we really do have to look whether there was a conspiracy here to let somebody in. How does that happen?
Well, the first family wasn't there, right? So could this be a covert
No, but
test
only by minutes.
Of security.
No. Oh, stop it. Only
yeah,
by
I
minutes.
Agree. Stop
only by
it.
Minutes they were not there.
Right.
I mean, you know, could this have been a test? This was no test.
This was a failure.
Fine.
All right. It's going to be that kind of show. No, excellent. let's take a break. We'll come back. We welcome your thoughts. Roundtable yes. at WAMC.org.
If you're a 9 foot tall husky woman and you want to complain, I better give the email address because.
On the contrary. Yes, that's who should have been there.
You have your own website. It's called Amazon.
Oh,
we'll be back after the short break.
No.
Support for WAMC comes from New England Falconry, Hadley, Massachusetts, offering introductory, extended, and group hands-on sessions, as well as hunts through field and forest with a trained hawk, newenglandfalconry.com. Union College Concert Series, presenting the Doric String Quartet, a London-based ensemble featuring works of Beethoven, Haydn, and Janáček, Thursday, November 20th, 7:30 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and our panel for this morning, Rosemary, Alan, Ray, I'm Joe. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org or WAMC.org/roundtable.
We're on a first
roundtable.
Name basis now.
Yeah.
Well, it's a reestablish.
I see.
Yeah. It's a reestablish of the show. Thank you. So let us talk about some, are there any letters, Alan, you need to get to or are we good for the moment?
I see a president. I see a letter from regular contributor Ryan.
All right.
I haven't read it. I'm reading it as I go, so it may be.
Well, nothing ever goes wrong with that.
Yeah. I've been following the president since he was a senator. I've always believed he is farther to the left than he acts, as indicated by his stance on net neutrality or taxes or health care. There are powers that do not want those things, and I think there has to be at least some consideration that maybe the president could be a victim of a conspiracy, just as I believe JFK was after visiting his museum and asking how far to the left he was. I know it sounds crazy, but sometimes facts are counterintuitive. And then we heard from Plun. I wonder
who?
What it would have looked like. Plun, P-L-E-U-N, Plun.
Plun Boresius.
Plun, yes. I wonder what it would have looked like if the intruder had been, and it says, and I don't quite get this, walk. If the intruder had been walk. Anybody get that?
Nope.
Maybe it's
capitalized? If he was walking, they probably would have
called
him.
No.
Christopher
Walken? No.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we heard from Judith, who says, "What is that music you've been playing?"
Yeah, that's a great question.
And then I believe that is it. Yes, that's it.
All right. When you think about this report coming out, and we have a little more light, but you have the next question, of course, is we have a new director. We have some answers to the questions of what happened. Now, are we at a point where this will get better? Or because this is an agency that has been in trouble now for several years, and you know, does it take something like this that will improve it, or is there some sort of cultural shift? I don't know. I mean, I think that the disturbing thing to me in the report is that there were so many, you have so many steps, you have so many safeguards, and they all failed.
Mm-hmm. And you have a change in administration now. You have a new boss, so obviously that's the mandate. If it doesn't change, I mean, the question to me is, how do we test it? How do we know that next year protection is better than it has been this year?
And I still am very, very concerned about the climate of enmity in the, you know, in the government. You got a guy like Mitch McConnell. He comes on. The first thing he doesn't shut up about, he keeps saying, my job is to get rid, right, rid of this president.
I've not heard him say
Am
that.
Am I wrong about that?
I have not heard him say that recently.
No, not recently, but he did say it, and he became very famous for having said it. So he sets up a sort of a – there are people out there who don't understand what language means. You know, one thing is get rid of him as the president. The other thing – what – you know, there is – and I was worried. I truly was scared to death about Barack Obama. And the fact that here we have our first black president, we have a guy who runs counter to much of what has been said about wars and other things. You know, I am just concerned that we don't take it more seriously. And you may say Keystone Cops, but that somebody doesn't take them out on the way in there. You've got.
I don't think Mitch McConnell was exhorting people to go hurt or shoot the president. I think he meant rid in the political and theoretical sense. And I would hate to see the, any kind of action taken against McConnell or other people who spoke out against the president. Now we're really seriously impeding expression of ideas.
Isn't it dangerous to sort of insinuate that there's a conspiracy in the government?
Yeah,
among the Secret Service.
That's scary to me.
I didn't say Raymond. I didn't say it. I said it has to be considered as a possibility, and that there will be people who do consider that, who do say, "How does a guy get into the leader of the free world's White House with such ease?" And with a weapon on him,
all right,
I
got to pause you right there.
Wait a second.
No,
guys.
Well, good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Very nice to have you with us for this Friday morning. Alan Chartok is here. Ray Graff is here. Rosemary Armeo. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also post your comment online for the whole world, including us, to see at WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable. And we would love to hear from you. Now, let's get to some other items in the news. And I know. Do you want to go over the letters first, Alan, and then we'll.
There are a couple of them. Table. I love it when they make who we are, round or table or
pound. Yeah. I like table better than round.
To help refresh Alan's well-meaning memory, Mitch McConnell is not quoted saying anything about getting rid of Obama. His closest quote is, "The single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president." He did mention getting rid of Obamacare, which is a different thing. That's Jim in Montgomery. And Jules, our very good friend, says, "Rosemary, Alan is right about McConnell's early objective of getting rid of the president. You can assume that everyone who heard that comment is reacting rationally." You can't assume everyone who heard that comment is reacting rationally. Words are powerful, and that statement can easily be taken literally by any of those who harbor real enmity against the president. And Michael says, "I love listening to the show, especially when you all weigh in on local issues. Also, sorry to be a crank, okay, on the audio. He had an audio complaint."
Oh, boy.
It was correct. He was right about that. Okay. and Susan says, If you look at the protection detail for Governor Deval Patrick, there is no mistaking they are on their game. He appears to be surrounded by men who could take care of business in the event of an attack on our governor. But I have to tell you, I think that's right. But I've seen them, and they fade into the background. You don't see them, but they're big guys, and I see them around him, and you know it's very unobtrusive. Really quite something. And Joe said, "I would like to agree, and I take great exception to his appellation for me. I would like to agree with Al."
Oh, Al.
The secret, Al. My mom said never let anybody do
really?
It.
Why?
Okay, I'd like to, well, she liked Alan, and my brother's name was Lewis, but he's gone by the name of Lou for his entire life.
I think Al is nice.
So I've always, do you?
Yeah, okay. I think, you know what? Well, it's a friendly term, Al. Al. Al.
They call me Al.
All right,
okay.
Ahead.
The Secret Service should have used... Oh, I love this. I'd like to agree with Al. The Secret Service should have used their Second Amendment right to protect the commander-in-chief's home. That's for Rosemary. Get it?
She gets it. She disagrees respectfully.
Oh, boy. All right, Al, what else we got?
It's like the old thing, when you get into trouble, call a hippie. All right, now, and then David says, today's music is from Vancouver Sleep Clinic's album Winter, and that's from our Hopper, who doesn't get enough credit for what he does. And then remember Ploon? Ploon came back and said, I meant, I wonder what it would have looked like if the intruder had been black. Bad eyesight. Okay, he's on the correction. Sorry, he says. And that's fine, Ploon. Great. Glad you corrected what you said. You remember before when we were talking about it? And
sure.
It
the intruder,
walk,
the intruder and was a person of color. Gonzalez was his name. So the point is they screwed it up, no matter black, white, or brown.
Moving on to other subjects and topics. SUNY Chancellor Nancy Zimpfer will not be getting a raise at this time. Yeah. In a letter Wednesday to SUNY Chairman H. Carl McCall, she turned down the plan to increase her annual pay, which currently includes $490,000 in base salary, a $90,000 housing stipend, and $55,000 in deferred compensation, saying, "I appreciate the gesture." McCall informed the SUNY board that he will be backing off on the proposal, noting in a letter to fellow trustees on Thursday, there has been considerable public interest regarding our deliberations over the chancellor's compensation. What do you like about this story, Al? Or, yes, go ahead, Al.
I think we have to say two things. Rosemary is a SUNY professor. I am emeritus on that. And I know her quite well because we've had her on the air many, many times, and I love her. I really think she's just an incredibly brilliant and wonderful leader for the SUNY system. Now, with that said, she has brought real order out of some significant chaos, particularly with the Research Foundation, before she was there. I do know that there are college presidents who make much more than she does. And this is the largest university in the world. However, it didn't look good. I've never gotten so much mail on a single subject, and I think they did the right thing here.
My mother has warned me not to say anything because I am a SUNY employee.
I think
however,
a really good idea.
I do have tenure, and so I would like to say, one, the idea of giving her parity with the head of the CUNY system, who makes much more than she does, I believe in parity. However, I think they both should make a whole lot less than they do. We're spending $1.4 million. That's just on the baseline. We don't even know the other stuff. At a time when tuition is going up for my students who struggle to pay loans, to work, to get through school, and it is unseemly. I'm glad that she made this gesture. I think she also should have given back some more.
Time out. If she...
wait.
If she worked
some more,
if she worked for $1, it would not affect tuition very much at all for any student.
This is
the
argument.
What the market will bear. And the fact that she didn't take the raise, okay, good for her. But what she's making now seems like a lot to you and me, especially those of us who work in radio.
It is a lot.
It is a lot. But the head of the SUNY system, the market would probably bear much more.
But
and it
why?
Wouldn't affect tuition a dollar.
The cost of administration certainly has a bearing on tuition. Certainly
well, and
does.
Also, Raymond, it's a little unseemly. I mean, you know, even if you're correct and it would not change tuition a dollar, there's symbolism here that is important. And Rosemary, I'd like to say something in response to what you said. You said that you thought that you had tenure, so you could say it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Oh boy.
But but they're never going to make you full professor.
Well, that's fine. I don't need to be a full professor.
I'm just And, I'm just teasing.
And, Alan, if I were a full professor, I would not get to make the $245,000 that she will as a full professor if she keeps her agreement to be a chancellor for 5 years. The agreements with these people are, I want to know, what do we get from a chancellor?
Wait, why full are professors we, why make $245,000 a year?
That's her deal. She works there for 5 years.
No,
she becomes a professor, and that's what she would make as a professor. But why does the chancellor of New York or the chancellor of the CUNY system have to make this much money? Why does the market bear that much? What do we
it's
get
a
from
huge,
it?
It's a huge responsibility. Do you want to have some schmo doing the job? Or do you want to have somebody who's qualified, who could take a job for twice as much elsewhere, to do the job?
I would rather take a job twice as much for elsewhere and have the legislature and the governor control the system, which is what's really happening anyway.
I think that's small potatoes for someone ahead of a huge university.
Does anybody think that there's a potential that some of the people, the bigs in state government, sent a memo down saying, we're getting too much mail on this. This is not a good thing.
Oh, I think it was definitely, it certainly seems like pressure, doesn't it?
Well, McCall almost says so in his statement that you read earlier, Joe.
Right.
So that's a possibility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we've gotten some more mail. Do you want it or not?
Sure.
Only if Plune writes again.
Don't make fun of people's names.
The way you say it, Al. She.
Now I'm the bad guy. Okay, wait a second. Now Michael says, forget tuition. What about the adjunct industrial complex? That's right.
I don't know what that means. Our adjuncts get paid.
That means
so
all
little.
The adjuncts who are working for so little money.
Right.
In other words, if you're a full professor and you're teaching one course and you're making $245,000.
Wow.
Dollars. That's about a hundred what and you know whatever.
Legitimate question.
Of course. Yeah. No, it's a fair question. It's a fair question. And Mark says Alan is right. If people can justify state troopers shooting somebody who potentially poses a threat in the course of a routine traffic stop, then we can certainly justify the Secret Service shooting someone who potentially poses a threat by unofficially entering the White House. By the way. The music you are playing today is great, capital letters.
Wow.
Can you tell us who the artist is? Okay.
It's Plune.
And,
Stop. Poor Plune is
a It sounds like a ride at an amusement park.
Stop it.
Go down the
stop
Plune.
It. Stop
no,
it.
It's cute.
She's with the Mass Humanities, the Massachusetts Humanities Council, a great partner of ours, and Plune Boresius.
Yes, we've
and,
got money
a
for
wonderful,
them. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful one. Yeah, well, they, very nice, Alan.
Bottom line, Al. Way to go.
Jeez.
Well, no, Joe put it so much nicer. She's a partner of ours, and she is. She's wonderful. And by the way, Ray, you have no business making fun of
I'm
her.
I'm not making
of her
fun
name.
Of her.
You were. You were. And
just
and
the way you say it is hilarious.
Knows it.
Go ahead.
That's her,
read your
that's
letters.
Her name. Plune.
Fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, wait a second. I consider myself a feminist, says Gary, and I'm all for women's equality. However, Al...
Oh, beautiful.
Parenthesis A-N, Al, parenthesis A-N, makes a good point about the small in stature female Secret Service agent. There's an old saying, I want to be a lumberjack. You need to, if you want to be a lumberjack, you need to be able to lift your end of the log. And that's from Gary. Whoa. And Michael says, why can't we see Alan on the webcam? The camera needs to be turned to the right. Way to the right.
Way to the left.
Way to the left. Okay. All right. And everybody's. Let's see here. We did that. Okay. I think we've done everything, Joe. Yes or not?
That sounds good. Let's take a break and we'll be back after the short.
Support for WAMC comes from Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, so you or a loved one can stay in your home, supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy, InterimHealthcare.com. Albany Symphony, welcoming Mayan Chen, music director of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, featuring Beethoven's Pastorale, and violinist Caroline Golding playing Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, Saturday, November 22nd, the Palace Theater, AlbanySymphony.com. And Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space, with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation, Facebook, Twitter, or AlbanyMarriott.com.
skin. I'm lost, tangled in the bars of this love, melting to the flow of your blood. Christ bestowed that I was shaped with snow. Seasons don't change, ignorance remains. I need this alone. I need this
back to our roundtable panel. It is Friday morning. You all right?
I'm all right. A guy writes in, he says, it seems that Alan gets to drink stronger coffee when he works from home.
Yeah.
You can either confirm or deny this.
That ain't coffee.
All right. Let's go to another issue. And, well, you know, we talked about this when it first broke, and the Amazon Hachette.
Wow.
Brouhaha has come to has been
at least
resolved.
A temporary resolution.
That's
huh?
right. Hachette, which is a publishing company, won an important victory on Thursday in its battle with Amazon. The ability to set its own price for ebooks, which it sees as critical to its survival. But even as the publisher and retailer announced a negotiated peace after sparring since January, hardly anyone seemed in the mood for celebratory fireworks. The conflict, which played out in increasingly contentious forums as the year progressed, left wounds too deep for that. Amazon has been cast as a bully in publications across the ideological spectrum, and a large group of authors is calling for it to be investigated on antitrust grounds. Its sales were hit by the dispute, according to analysts. Hachette, too, revealed its vulnerability. Amazon supporters publicly question the need for Hachette, the fourth largest publisher, to exist in an era when authors can publish themselves digitally, an accusation that Hachette was reluctant to respond to. And even if Amazon got less in the deal than it originally wanted, it still controls nearly half the book trade, an unprecedented level for any one retailer, and the dispute showed it is not afraid to use its power to discourage sales.
Joe, I think you.
So, Joe, I wanted to ask you. Yeah, Joe is the author expert. What do you make of it, Joe?
Well, I think it's. I think it is. This was basically for ebooks, and to have a company that is purchasing your product, if you think of it that way, and say, okay, this is so you are the manufacturer of the product, and you say this is what my product is worth, and this is what I'm selling this product for, and then you sell, and then you distribute it to the store for sale, and then the store says, okay, well, we're going to sell it at a quarter of what you say you should sell it for. Well, then how do you sell it to the other places?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because they have such power, I think any company having that much power over one industry is scary.
Dangerous.
I think Hachette should be applauded for taking them on. I do think that they saw some damage on this. And the thing I found most impressive were the authors that worked for Hachette and didn't, who stood up and said that they would work with Hachette to try to broker a deal. So I think as Rosemary indicated, this is far from over, and it's going to be a long time before we see all of the effects. But the fact that there was some negotiation is good news, but You know, I gotta have to be honest. I kind of like the idea that you couldn't get those products on Amazon, and you had to go somewhere else to get them.
Well, tell me this, Joe. In the physical brick and mortar book world, when a bookseller has books, and I honestly don't know the answer to this. Do they buy X number of books at wholesale and then sell them, or do they get them more or less on consignment and sell them and get a cut?
You would buy them. You would buy them at a reduced rate.
Okay. You would buy them, though. So in this business model for ebooks, wouldn't it make sense for Amazon or whoever is controlling the market share to then have to buy? I assume the way it works now is like an MP3 sale. Amazon's not laying out the cash in advance. They're getting their cut. They're giving their cut to the record label and the artist, or however that's broken down. But would it make sense for Amazon then to buy 50,000 download the rights to 50,000 downloads, and then they could price them whatever they want?
Yes.
Yeah, but then what if it goes wrong? What if it's Andrew Cuomo's book and nobody buys it?
That's business.
By the way, did you see Alan that the sales figures are in?
They're terrible.
The new sales figures are in. I just want to mention this, that according to Capital Confidential, for the fourth week, they're talking about the consistency in the sales. The first week that the book came out, it's sold under 1,000 copies. Its second week, it sold 500. Ooh. 230 in its third week, and the seven-day period that ended Sunday, the book sold 115 copies.
Well, you know, my book, my early book in the 1960s, Strengthening the Wisconsin Legislature, I think did better.
Well, that's a classic.
Well, you know, because everyone in the legislature had to have it, right? So that makes sense.
In the Wisconsin legislature.
In the Wisconsin legislature, right. But, you know, obviously you want
to... You would think that if every library in the United States had to buy a book, right? Joe, you know about libraries. A lot of them buy books when they come out.
They tend to buy books, yeah.
you do better than 100 copies, wouldn't you?
You know, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah, okay. I've taken my shot.
I was looking for a bad guy in the Handshed Amazon story, and it appears to be Andrew
Back
Cuomo.
No, I think this is no different than what we've been talking about all along with net neutrality and all these other issues.
Right, related.
Where you have one powerful entity, and tell me how that isn't a monopoly,
right.
Of how you come in and you own more than 50% of the market, and you are able to wield that power
totally
into a way,
bullying behavior
and bullying and not and so that to me is you know how is that warranted.
The other question I had is about the authors. I mean, Amazon would like to just eliminate the Handshets and just deal directly with authors. Is that good or bad?
Well, I don't personally think that's good, because then you're getting away. Not only are you getting away with the authors, but you're getting away with, unless Amazon becomes its own publishing company,
right.
And has things called editors and,
right.
and who actually have
actually, now that you mention it, they are their own publishing company, because a lot of people, as you know all too well, because you are the person that everybody sends books to, they do a whole thing of self-published books.
No, they sell the books that are self-published elsewhere. So if I want to...
No, but they do it also. They do it also. They become a publisher of those books. I know my friend went through Amazon, and they were the ones who handled the whole thing.
Well, but here again, it doesn't. But then if you are an author who... well, we're out of time. But if you're an author in the region and you've written a book that is local and it's only available on Amazon, then it's not behooving you then, because no one in your region can get it other than ordering it online, because it's not available anywhere locally. Anyway.
And we're hearing from people who love Amazon. I can tell you that much right now.
Great. We're out of time. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. And the roundtable continues after this.